more than 3 months after releasing a report on alleged sexual misconduct by Governor Andrew Cuomo, which led to his resignation, State Attorney General Letitia James released multiple transcripts of interviews conducted by her deputized investigators for the inquiry, including more than 500 pages from the sit-down this summer with Cuomo and hundreds of pages from women who accused the former governor of misconduct. For more on what the transcripts tell us, both literally and metaphorically, we're joined by Politico New York Capitol reporter Bill Mahoney. Welcome back to the show, Bill.
Thanks for having me.
So before we get into the content itself, can you explain why the public now has access to these transcripts?
Well, in theory, it's partially because some criminal charges against Cuomo have begun to move forward. Mm-hmm. He's been spending months ever since the Attorney General's report was first released in early August, basically demanding that the evidence that she used to write the report be released to the public and let him investigate it, let him rebut it, etc. And she has held off on doing so, but we do have in Albany County one case against Cuomo that has at least taken some steps toward moving forward. We don't know when or if this will actually result in a trial or anything like that, but at some point, because of the fact he's facing these charges, he will have a chance to review the evidence, and it seems like this is tied to that in some ways.
And while the public didn't have access to these transcripts, it is at least my understanding, right, that the Assembly's impeachment investigation had access to this, and theoretically other district attorneys who wanted to investigate potential alleged misconduct by Andrew Cuomo that they might have become aware of through the August report probably also had access to these transcripts, right?
Yeah, and we don't know what else they've had access to. This is only a piece of it. We've got interviews with the governor and a number of his accusers all under oath that get into a lot more detail on some of the stories we've heard for many months now. But there's also all sorts of other investigations. We've heard stuff about cell phone records and things like that that are out there that presumably most of these investigators have seen that we'll have access to at some point, that the Assembly is currently looking at some of this stuff and might be releasing some of it in the fairly near future, but to be determined.
From your lips to God's ears, Bill. So in reading the transcript of the governor's interview specifically, did you gain any new insights into how his administration worked, the allegations against him and how he's responding, or just who Andrew Cuomo, the man, the myth, the former governor is?
Well, the big takeaway that I got from Cuomo's interview is that he did not admit any wrongdoing whatsoever. If you've got these allegations against you saying you did this, you sexually harassed somebody this way, etc., there's two ways of responding to that. If you don't want to profess guilt, you could say, that's a lie, I didn't do that, or there's nothing wrong with what I did. And he did flat out deny a few allegations here and there. But by and large, there were lots of times where he said that things did happen, but that was just taken out of context. He didn't mean anything by it. At one point, he said, I don't have regrets. Look, if you could always state everything over, I'm sure I would state things. If I could restate everything I've ever said to a woman or a man, I'd say it differently. But generally, no. And that was generally the way he approached this. A lot of the things that he had talked about that had come up, like he had asked one staffer, or he compared her to Daisy Duke because of the shorts she was wearing. He didn't deny that. He basically just said, I said that, but there was nothing wrong with it. It was my way of trying to tell her to wear a different outfit to the office. And there's obviously a lot of people who would disagree that that's ever appropriate for somebody in a managerial position to say, but he basically would say he said all this stuff and there was nothing wrong with it. And he stuck with that for a lot of this multi-hour interview under oath.
Were you surprised by the combative nature of the testimony, such as not even conceding what it means to be someone's girlfriend, something that he went 10 rounds on with the person conducting the interview?
I don't find it too surprising. That's always kind of been his nature. Mm-hmm. We've both been at press conferences with the governor where a reporter can ask a question and he'll start arguing with them about
semantics,
the meaning of life, or hashing the way that you ask the question without really responding to it. And that's how he's always kind of dealt with this stuff. And particularly when he was under oath, as this dragged on, and it probably became increasingly clear to him, if it hadn't been before, that this was not going to be a friendly interview just to clear the deck, he definitely played into this persona that he's had for many, many years and did not seem happy to engage with the investigators.
How, if at all, do the transcripts from the women who accused the former governor of misbehavior, sometimes criminal behavior, advance our understandings of their allegations? Is it simply about having the fuller picture provided by these interviews, hearing their stories in their words, as opposed to having it condensed in a report from the AG's office and their investigators? Or did we gain any, you know, new insight? Is there anything that, you know, didn't make it the cut previously that we now are aware of?
I think a lot of the stories are things that we've heard in various forms, either when these began to emerge late last winter mm-hmm. or when the Attorney General's report was released in August. But yeah, reading it in their own words definitely changes the impact rather than just reading somebody else summarizing what their allegations are. But there was also a lot in here that just characterized the general way that his office operated that I think advanced the understanding a little bit. Things that probably aren't surprising to too many people, but hearing a story, for example, of one former staffer who was tasked with getting the governor's coffee on a regular basis and paying $3 very many times to walk down to Dunkin' Donuts in the Capitol and bring him the hot coffee with whole milk that he likes, not getting reimbursed, not having him throw her a few bucks. It just kind of paints this picture of an office where his whims and his desires were what governed his staff's daily life.
Do we have any sense of why some of those inquiries were avenues that the investigators pursued? Why did they get into office conduct that might not necessarily have had anything to do with the sexual misconduct allegations? Is it all just a part of setting the scene, or are they just trying to make the governor look like a jerk by pursuing some of these avenues of questions?
I can't really get into the minds of the investigators, but that was a theme right from Attorney General Tish James's news conference when she released the report, that there was a hostile workplace.
Yeah.
And all of this kind of builds up off of this idea where it's not just him making the occasional comment that can be taken out of context and used against him, but the whole general workplace based on all of these transcripts. The narrative that emerges is, yeah, these staffers were just tools to him and not their personal feelings were not taken into account. And I do think even something like a Dunkin' Donuts account that we just went over, that's the type of thing where it's not the way that most people would want to have their manager treat them. Just go pay out of your pocket to buy me coffee on a regular basis. And that does play into this idea of a hostile workplace and support this idea that these aren't just one-off incidents that were plucked and cherry-picked from years of comments that he's made to everybody.
Well, and for the record, I'm pretty sure that any time I've had producer Peter Wendler pick up lunch from the Empire State Plaza, I've usually bought his lunch as well. So, I think I'm going to appear pretty good in whatever transcripts are eventually released from his interviews. So following the release of these transcripts, Andrew Cuomo's camp fired off a series of critiques and questions for AG Tish James, including complaints about the redactions, or in some case, the lack of redactions, and asked why certain lines of inquiry weren't pursued while others, like the ones we just talked about, were. Putting aside the validity of the issues raised, what is the point of this type of rebuttal from the former governor and his attorney and his spokesperson?
Well, we don't know what the former governor's future plans are. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been talk of him mounting a bid this year or running for attorney general. We don't know what he's planning on doing or how he thinks he might come out of this and what he views his best case scenario as. But everything we've heard from him in recent weeks, both to this and some of the problems with the Albany County criminal complaint, he's been trying to paint a picture of these investigations as chaotic and unorganized and even basic factual errors. If you can find something on these 4,000 pages that is wrong, then that kind of gives them an in to try to portray this as, see, they weren't concerned about the truth or whatever they're trying to get out there, and make the case that you just should not trust all this stuff coming out against us and it's all a big mess.
So it's just about image rehabilitation.
If you're him and you don't want to admit guilt, that's what I imagine your only option is at this point.
Well, we've been speaking with Bill Mahoney. He's a Capitol reporter for Politico New York. Bill, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And for listeners who want to go through the transcripts and exhibits on their own, visit ag.ny.gov/Cuomo Independent Investigation.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.